Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're asking the question, are you frugal or are you cheap?
Joel, I am extremely pissed because my credit score dropped like 100 points a couple weeks ago.
Whoa, dude. What happened?
Yeah, so no joke, 100 points. I had an account. Well, I still have an account with a credit union because credit unions are awesome, right?
We love credit unions.
Yeah, you love credit unions? I love credit unions.
A lot of good reasons to like credit unions.
Mostly because a lot of times they offer great rates and their products are really affordable. They're not charging higher fees like the big banks are. They also don't have slick, easy-to-use websites like big banks do.
That is true. That is probably the biggest flaw of the credit union model.
Yeah, and on that note, I've got a payment with the credit union and I got confused because this was a new payment for me and I had thought that I had slid the money over. I don't know. I just got confused. And all I know is that there was a $5 payment that I owed the credit union. I transferred the money from my online checking account over.
But you hadn't actually completed the payment.
Yes.
Oh.
But it was sitting there in my standard credit union account. And I didn't make that final move to then move it from there directly to the account because you have to use that account as like a middleman. You can't pay it from my online checking account.
So now you're like deadbeat when it comes to credit scores.
Yes. Yeah. So that went about 2 months, I think it was, before I actually realized what was going on. Yeah, man, here's the thing. You just made me executor of your will.
That's right.
Yeah,
I might be regretting it now.
We just talked about this last week because I'm really meticulous when it comes to payments and details and all that kind of stuff. But I freaking got sloppy and it slipped through the cracks and my freaking credit score dropped 100 points now because I had a missed payment.
So what did you do after you saw that? So what tactics does Uber podcast host Matt use to fight back against this credit score drop?
So now I've got it listed next to my standard payments that I've got on my calendar. I've got my calendar reminders just to remind me to make the payments. And that one wasn't on there again because it was a new payment. So now it's part of my regular lineup. It's something a checklist off I go down every month. But I mean, the reason I wanted to mention that was because credit unions, like we said at the beginning, they're great. However, it might take a little bit of doing your homework and making sure you know what's going on, make sure you know how to make your payments. In this case, dude, it was only $5 that I didn't transfer over properly. $5.
Yeah, that's a huge bummer. I feel like I feel like there should be things in place for when it is something that's super small, especially for a credit union who's all about their members. And, you know, essentially a credit union is a co-op. That's part of the reason a credit union is so great. They're there to serve the members. The members are essentially part owners in the credit union.
Yep.
It's a beautiful model. And so, you know, it's not like a big bank where they can just say, sorry, you screwed up. You didn't abide 100% by the rules we put in place and we're
pay
dinging
up.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're dinging you majorly. But I feel like with a credit union, it should be different. And I'm not sure if you tried to bark up the customer service tree there, but if I were you, man, I would.
Yeah, you're probably right. I should maybe, except that they didn't charge me anything, right? So the credit union, I didn't get hit with any fees. They just reported it. And it actually, I don't think it affected my ability to procure credit. Because just last week, I went ahead and applied for another sign-up bonus card because that's how I roll, and I got approved. So
you're like the master of those things.
So I think maybe it's going to be okay, and I'll still get my my big old sign-up bonus after I hit my spending quotas with the new card.
Yeah, and you know your credit score, it's a beautiful thing how it can kind of bounce back pretty quickly. Yeah, so if you have made a bungle like that, like everyone's missed a payment at one point or another, right?
Dude, I'm not perfect, all
right? Hey, listen, all right? Not cool, man. Step your game up. You're disappointing our listeners. Just kidding. All right, so if you have ever missed a payment or want to figure out how to improve your credit score, Matt and I, we did an episode on that, episode number 10. So feel free to check that one out because, yeah, credit scores, they're kind of like a game in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And sometimes you lose a life and then you got to jump back on and
got to power up, dog.
Get your game together, right? So and I feel like that episode for us, that's like the game genie, right? To get your credit score.
Did you use the game genie back in the day?
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
I always had mixed feelings using it because as soon as you use it, you know that, all right, I'm basically cheating. You know, it's just not the competition or the difficulty isn't It's just not there.
Yeah.
Something about it just bothered me.
It prevents like the replayability of a game because once you beat it, you're kind of done with it. So yeah, it's kind of fun. Like I feel like my friend had one and I go over to his house and we'd like beat a game.
Dude, same here. I didn't buy that crap.
Yeah.
George did.
But then I go back home and I play my games and just struggle big time.
It's the thrill of the chase, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Matt, let's tell folks what we're having on the show today. This is a first. We are having a Radler.
And which is technically not beer, right?
Well, it's part beer,
it's part beer
and part juice, essentially.
Yeah.
And
which
so
is part of what makes it so delicious and sweet.
Agreed. So what we're having today, and we'll tell you a full review of this beer at the end of the show, is Stiegl Radler. Can't wait to drink this and then let you guys know how it tastes.
And I'll say real quick, the reason we're drinking this is because my mother-in-law left it in our fridge.
Sorry, Kath. Drank your beer.
Over the weekend. And I like to be frugal, and so we're going to drink this on this episode where we're talking about, are you frugal or are you cheap?
She's going to be so bummed when she comes back, looking for her refreshing beer in the fridge, not to be found.
I think she knows that anything left in our fridge is just fair game.
All right, so Matt, on to the topic at hand, are you frugal or are you cheap? And there's a temptation to become cheap when you're looking to get your finances in order. I know that was the case for me early on, especially, you know, in my early 20s, just being a cheapskate, really. And we would encourage people to choose frugality over being a cheapskate. And so let's kind of get into how those schools of thoughts differ, what we think the differences are between a cheap person and a frugal person, and then kind of how people can toe the frugal line as opposed to that cheapskate line.
Also, too, I don't think it's difficult for people to want to not be cheap, right? When you're cheap, it's got a negative connotation. Like, people don't want to be cheap. And I think that's one of the things that hopefully we'll kind of get to on this is that how do you be frugal without being like the cheap guy?
Crossing that line.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, who wants to be cheap? Who wants to be considered the cheap guy or the cheap girl, whatever? Nobody. And I think that keeps people from being frugal and sort of pursuing being frugal and trying to find ways to save money because they think, well, I don't want to be the cheapskate. Like, I don't want to be that guy. And so I think there's a way. Yeah. Like we said, to be frugal. And for that to be sort of this admirable thing to pursue while at the same time keeping being cheap kind of at arm's length.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think frugality has kind of actually become kind of cool. At least it was maybe a few years ago.
I feel like it's cool now.
Maybe it's cool.
Yeah, there's like a new wave of people being frugal.
If it's not, we're going to make it cool again. All right. So, Matt, before we get kind of too far into it, we're already kind of using these terms. Let's kind of give a quick definition.
Yes.
And so let's start with cheap.
Yeah. So if you're cheap, all that you care about is getting the cost down and nothing else matters. You're just focused on the numbers. You're focused on keeping your expenses low. And so from a decision-making standpoint, being cheap is just really crazy easy because, again, all you're considering are the numbers. It's just a easy button. You're comparing all your costs and all you have to do is pick the lowest one.
Right, yeah, but you can already see how maybe that model might fall apart.
Might be faulty, exactly.
Some instances, right, yeah.
So, yeah, tell us about frugal.
So frugal, yeah, if you're frugal, it's more of a question of value than just about the lowest price. And so it's a little bit harder to make the decision of whether something is a good purchase or not if you are frugal because you have to weigh more than just that price factor, right? You're weighing the cost against the value that it brings to you as an individual. It's a little more of a balance. So just quick example, you might buy something that a piece of clothing that you plan on wearing for 10, 15, 20 years that you think is a good value versus buying the cheapest possible item of clothing that is going to last for a season, right? And so that's kind of just a quick understanding maybe of cheap versus frugal.
When you're balancing the cost versus your values, what you're valuing are just all the different aspects of your life, whether that be how much time you have or how much energy, not physical energy, but also too just your mental energy and the amount of things that you're able to kind of keep in your mind, like the different deals you're able to juggle. But even down to relationships, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. How do cost and the amount that you spend, how does that affect relationships? And even down to your beliefs and sort of the more ethical questions. These are all things that are sort of in the balance between money and then all these other things that you value. And you have to find out, you know, where is the perfect balance for you?
Yeah, and I think there are going to be probably a lot of examples that will kind of come out during this show because that's one of the easiest ways to reflect that dichotomy, that difference between being frugal and being cheap. So, you know, for instance, one thing I wanted to bring up, Matt, is, you know, I know there are a lot of people that boycott, that ban shopping at a place like Walmart because maybe, you know, they pay their workers a lower wage, and shopping at a neighborhood store or someplace in your neighborhood supporting local businesses may be paying a little bit more, and shopping somewhere that is close by, buying from your neighbors essentially, is a meaningful experience. Yeah, so I don't necessarily want to make a judgment right here, right now, about whether, you know, shopping locally versus shopping at a big national chain is, you know, frugal or cheap, bad or good. But it is something that you should think about as you're kind of creating your own definition as well. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you will have a good definition to kind of hold up decisions in your own life and decide whether it's frugal or cheap for you.
Yeah, man. So for an example, we like to keep our heat set at 61 degrees.
Burskies.
Which is pretty chilly at night.
That's why I don't spend the night anymore, dude.
And so I'm willing to pay what it takes, right, to stay comfortable at night. I like to be warmer than 61 degrees. But that means for us keeping our beds warm or our rooms warm, not necessarily the entire house. And so the default sort of thought process is, oh, I'm cold, let me turn up the temperature on the whole house. But to me, that's just wasteful.
I will say, Emily tells a story of growing up, my wife, and she says they used to chant at her dad, don't be cheap, use the heat, because he would wait too long in the season to turn it on. And I'm sure living with me, she has echoes of childhood in that. But I think that is that's definitely a common thing that people battle about.
The battle of the thermostat, right? Like folks are walking by and turning it and pushing it back. That's like the kind of thing you do in college where it's just this passive aggressive, like, I'm just going to nudge it over just a tiny bit and they're going to nudge it back.
And one person's frugal is another person's cheap.
Yeah, I think probably most folks would hear this and think, how the crap do they survive in their house? I mean, and I work from home, you know, we bundle up. And to me, that's just a way for us to be frugal.
An example for me that people will probably think is super weird is that I reuse my plastic Ziploc bags. And so I know, you know, but some people have said, well, you should use plasticware instead and wash it. But I just really like the convenience of plastic bags.
A little zippy.
Yeah, but I just reuse them for weeks. So I'll put apples in the same Ziploc bag every day for weeks, and then I'll finally move on to another one. Same thing with like the almonds I take for lunch every day. And I don't see any problem with that. I like reusing the bags, and it just makes me feel good about less waste and also wasting less money.
Yeah, man, that's a little bit weird, but it's good. And so being frugal takes some thought. And obviously, these are things that we've thought about. But sometimes we fail. And there's ways that we think we can save money. We think we can be frugal. But in the process of trying to be frugal and save money, we end up being cheap.
We cross the line.
Which is not the goal at all. And you have an example to share with us?
Oh, I sure do. All right. This is one I will never live down and still actually is currently in existence. So that we are reminded as a family of my poor decision. And it was at a house that we lived in that is currently a rental house. I was putting in ceiling fans where there was just a light in the ceiling. And I put in ceiling fans to help cool things down in the summer, right? We live in a hot town. And so I put in, I found a really good deal on some ceiling fans, brand new,
yeah,
from Home Depot.
Nice.
But it turns out they were really, really small. They had like the super, super short blades.
Like a 12-inch blade.
It's something like that. It's like utterly ridiculous. It's like the little propeller hat on a dude.
Like on a little kid.
Yeah, yeah. So it just looks silly up there, and it just doesn't really turn much air in the bedrooms.
Wait, do you still have them?
Yeah, they're still there.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you ended up taking them back.
No, so my tenant doesn't really probably appreciate those fans. But so that was a frugal fail on my part.
I did not realize that you actually installed those. I remember you pulled them out of the box. I remember seeing them sitting in your dining room. So this is several years ago.
Yeah.
I did not realize you actually installed those.
They're still around. And so really that's a frugal fail on my part. That's me crossing over from frugal to cheap because I chose something just for that initial price. And I didn't think about the value or lack thereof that it would provide for the long term, right? And so those are just crummy ceiling fans that don't do the job that I wanted them to do over the long term. And my wife brings it up often, like once or twice a year, she'll bring it up. Remember those ceiling fans you bought? And yes, I do. And I'm telling everyone now.
Thanks for sharing, man. I love that story.
Feels like confession.
Well, my confession time. So we love bikes. And Joel, do you remember I used to have that cargo bike with a box up front?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like the Dutch style cargo bike. And so it's a cargo bike. And what that means, it's just got a cargo area in the front of the bike for, in our case, our daughter would sit up there and I could put groceries and all sorts of stuff. It was awesome. Well, in my case, I went for the cheapest possible version of that bike that you could buy. And by that, I mean, there were some guys in Texas that were making these out of scrap bike parts. And they would basically just hack together these like Frankenstein cargo bikes. And the welding on them were terrible and they weren't at all engineered to be safe. And dude, from the very beginning, I had problems with that thing. Like I would break and it would shimmy like it would do the speed wobble sort of thing.
Ooh.
And from day one, I immediately regretted the decision. And the reason I did was because I was only looking at cost. I just wanted that style of bike because I essentially kind of was infatuated with it. I fell in love with it. And the really nice ones, or the normal ones, I should say, were thousands of dollars, like $2,000 or $3,000. And I didn't have that much money. And I thought, oh man, for $1,200, I get something that looks a lot like it. Except it wasn't even really that fun to ride. It wasn't even that safe, with the whole sort of shimmy going on. And ultimately, I ended up selling that bike for several hundred less to a guy who was very happy to buy it because he was a welder and he knew how to fix it. But in my case, man, that was a huge fail. Huge fail. I ended up paying like the freight shipping to ship that thing all the way from Texas.
Yeah. I feel like, man, that there's a lot of cheap fails that I could lay claim to here on this podcast episode. That especially early on in my wanting to be financially secure, wanting to cut my costs and do better with my money, there were just so many poor decisions I made. And they were along this line, right? I hadn't learned the boundary of frugal versus cheap. And I came down on the side of cheap far too often. And ultimately, man, coming down on that cheap side actually costs you more in the long run so much of the time, but we're too short-sighted to realize it. Just like with your bike, just like with my ceiling fan, right? It's going to cost you more in the long run. I got to replace those fans at some point.
Yeah.
And you had to sell your bike for a loss because it was just a crummy product. And so I think that's a big part of the decision-making that we have to factor in is this decision that I'm making just to get the lowest price right now is actually going to come back to bite me in the end.
Yeah, man, that is an awesome example. But after the break, we'll cover some guiding principles that can guide you along when you're making some purchases to determine whether you're being cheap or if you're being frugal. All right, man, we're back from the break. Now we're going to talk about some different principles that we feel can guide you, like we said, when it comes to determining whether you're being cheap or whether or not you're being frugal. You want to kick it off?
Yeah, man. Principle number one, cheap people are thinking about short-term benefits while frugal folks are playing the long game. It turns out that being cheap can actually cost you more in the long run because you have to buy more things more frequently. And so just like we were talking about, Matt, right? The short-sighted bike purchase, it cost you more in the long run because you had to ditch it. You lost money on that. You bought another bike. For me, an example I can think of clearly is the way I used to buy jeans versus the way I currently buy jeans. I would buy the cheapest H&M or Old Navy jeans I could possibly get. They were $12, $14 on sale, whatever they were. But they just didn't fit right. They seemed to quickly start to fit irregularly. And now the jeans I buy are more like $50. But they last for years and years. And I love wearing them. And I wear them every single day of my life. So that to me is a frugal purchase. I know the jeans that I like now. I wait for them to go on sale and I buy those particular jeans.
I'm surprised you don't have to buy your jeans at like the big and tall store. Like what's your leg length?
34.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's not that long.
I know.
Oh, that's weird. I was expecting it to be like 36 or 38 or something.
I am freakishly tall. That's true. But no, I can get away with 34 length, which is nice.
You just like to wear those high waters. Another application, dude, of that makes me think of our old. So our old car before we got the van was we had a V-dub that was turbo. It had a turbocharger. It makes it sound like it was like pimped out or something like that.
Whoa, exhibit. Calm down.
But what that meant, though, is that we had to get special oil. And by special, we had to have like a synthetic oil. And so if we didn't maintain that vehicle and spend the money every oil change to make sure that we had synthetic oil, that was going to end up costing us big time in the long run because it would create this like oil sludge. And so that's an example of going cheap, right? In the short term, only looking at the cost in the near term would have cost us huge down the road.
Yeah, so if you're trying to decide whether you're being frugal or cheap, think about principle number one. And if you're only considering the short-term cost as opposed to the potential long-term benefits, then you're probably being cheap.
That's right, man. Principle number two, cheap people are often trying to avoid spending money altogether on anything, right? Or they load up and they buy just too much crap with, you know, that sort of, it's on sale, the Black Friday mindset. Whereas frugal folk are willing to spend on the things that they care about. And so what I mean by that then is that if you're not being mindful of the things that you're spending money on, your purchases, and you're just trying to spend as little as possible all the time, chances are you're being cheap and you likely aren't even really enjoying life. If you're frugal, you tend to spend money on the things that actually bring you joy.
Yeah, I feel like cheap is possession accrual, right? How much of cheap things can I amass? And it almost kind of can turn into a hoarding type mentality, right? Like, how many TVs can I have? If I get them all on sale, I can have a lot. But you know, really, how many...
Like, how many TVs do you really need, man?
Right, exactly.
I know you've got like five of them in your house and you just want one more.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Talking about you, Joel.
Yeah, no way, man. So I've got one TV... It's actually funny. I was talking, I did buy my TV on Black Friday like 9 years ago or 10 years ago with my buddies. But we were just texting about it just the other day about how our TVs were still lasting. Nice. And it's still the only TV that we have in our house. And even that, man, sometimes I think about getting rid of it altogether because it's just a time suck sometimes. But yeah, I think people should think a little bit more like that. Not how many more TVs can I get when they're on sale, but how can I spend money on the things that bring me joy as opposed to just with that Black Friday mindset? Oh, it's 70% off. I'm
getting such a good deal.
Yeah. But the best deal is not spending money on things that you don't actually need, right? So I would recommend, especially in advance of the Black Friday shopping season, to take stock of the things that you're really are on your shopping list and think about finding deals on those particular items, not just buying whatever pops up and whatever seems like a good deal in the Black Friday ads, right? Because that's cheap. Just trying to buy as many possible things as you can.
Yeah, cheap people are all about being able to say how much they got their item off. It's like, man, I got this thing for 70% off. I'm just like, cool. Why do you need that thing?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, do you actually need that? And so that's what you want to keep in mind.
Yeah, if you are either trying to avoid spending altogether or loading up and buying as much stuff as you need at the cheapest price possible, you're probably being cheap. All right, man, that brings us to principle number three. Cheap peeps don't take their own time and energy into account when they see a deal, or if they know that they can DIY the project. Frugal folks tend to have a better understanding of what their time is worth, and that helps them make a better decision as to whether or not they should try and save a few bucks by fixing something on their own.
Yeah, that's right, man. Often there's a complete devaluing of your time. You know, when you think cheap, they end up driving across town just to save a few bucks. You know, like they're the ones trekking across the city to get a few cents off per gallon when they're not even thinking about how much time that they're wasting or even how much money they're spending to get there.
Yeah, you know, or how much gas they're wasting in order to get the cheaper gas.
Yeah, but really just like how much of your life hours are you wasting? Like you can't get that time back where you're just sitting in the car just to save a few bucks.
And also, dude, I don't know about if you've thought about this, but I feel like the time that it takes to think about getting a deal sometimes can be overwhelming. And yes, when you get into that mindset, I know it was for me because I feel like I'm a reformed cheapskate to a certain extent, right? I feel like now I understand the difference and I place a lot more value on frugality as opposed to being cheap.
Right.
And but that was me. That was totally me. And I would drive across town to buy something at a store because I had a coupon and it was on sale and I would double down on the savings for something I didn't necessarily need. And for me, it was a lack of understanding about how valuable my time was. And so I feel like this is actually a really important point that hits home.
Yeah.
That the thing that was the kicker for me was understanding, you know what, Joel, your time is valuable. And when you take your time out to go save a buck or two by driving across town and doing something crazy like that, then that's where you're missing the boat. And that's where being cheap just felt like it was a detriment to kind of my ultimate plans of, you know, financial independence. It felt like it was the opposite. It was kind of a suck as opposed to something that was benefiting my life.
Yeah, man, I think there might be two reasons for that because I'm with you. I was way more willing to chase after the deals early on. And I think that's just because when you're younger, you feel like you just have more time. Well, I mean, I think you do have more time because I got three kids now. And so I've got way less time.
And your time is like literally worthless, I think, at that point.
No, yeah. That's very true. So certainly as you get older, you get more responsibility. And yeah, your time is worth more. We're kind of aging up a little bit and our time is worth more to us. You also mentioned like fixing things yourself. And for me, you're talking about how this is kind of hitting home for you. For me, this totally hits home. And this is an easy trap for me to fall into for all those like me who are interested in the DIY stuff. If you're more mechanically minded, you kind of like figuring out how things work. Like, I like fixing things. Like, I recently fixed one of our sound machines. Like, you know, that we've got the dome, like, mechanical sound machine that spins. Well, one of ours was squealing, and it had been in, like, the drawer forever, and I couldn't bring myself to throw it away. And there's just one screw holding the whole thing together, so I thought, let me just pull this open. Because I was curious. You know, it's just I'm naturally disposed to kind of figure things out like that, and it happens to sort of coincide with saving money. That didn't take long. Maybe it took 30 minutes. But I might spend an hour or two taking something apart to see what's wrong with it because I'm A, curious and I like to figure things out, but B, I'm like, oh, I can also, yeah, I can save a buck while I do this. And so I justify it, but I'm ripping myself off because my time is worth way more and my wife would rather me do something else with my time.
Like the dishes, Matt. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so ultimately, cheap people don't take their own time into account. Frugal people do. That's principle number three.
The fourth principle we're going to cover. Frugal folks are interested in well-researched purchases. And so when you're frugal, you're willing to pay more for a particular product because of if there's like track record or the fact that you know you're buying from a reputable merchant. They might have a great return policy or an awesome warranty. In those instances, I think it's okay to pay more. Just make sure that you're paying for a great product and that you're not paying for great marketing.
Yeah, Matt, like you could probably say I'm buying those Yeezys because they got that great warranty, but that's probably not the case. It's probably because you're being a little consumeristic.
Do they have a sweet warranty?
I don't know.
So actually on shoes, it does make me think of like Red Wings. Like, you know, you've seen the Red Wings around, like they're dope boots for men.
Yeah.
They're awesome. They are crazy expensive. I think they cost around $250. And I have a pair of boots that are very similar, exact same style, 6-inch, and they're by a company called Thorogood. And this company, dude, has been around just as long as Red Wing. But guess what? Their advertising / marketing game sucks. But these boots are just as good.
Yeah, and then the other option that you could have done buying a boot, right, is you could have gone with the cheapest Walmart boot possible that wears through super quick. But a frugal person does their research, and they don't necessarily just buy the most expensive boot, right? That's not always the answer. But in your case, you found a well-researched option that was cheaper but still fit the bill. And I think, you know, a couple more examples that we could give kind of in this area are buying something from a reputable retailer like a Costco. So Costco's got one of the best warranties in the business. It used to apply even to electronics items for the longest time. But, you know, in the last few years, it just wasn't possible, right, to keep that up.
Right.
But if you're buying almost anything in the store, you know, food, clothing, kitchen items, whatever it is, the great thing is that the return policy, it never ends. And so
that's awesome.
I recommend anyone buy especially stuff like luggage, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, because didn't you have a piece of luggage where something happened to it and you're like, dude, I got this at Costco. I'm able to get a new one. Don't worry.
Exactly. Yeah. So I totally had a suitcase damaged by an airline and Costco took it back. No problem at all.
That's awesome.
And so buying something from Costco, I'm also willing to spend just a little bit more. I feel like their quality is really good and their return policy is really good. So if I spend a little bit more, it's not the cheapest suitcase on the block, right? But I do have that back pocket, you know, warranty that covers me if something were to happen. So that means a lot, right? I'm not buying the cheapest possible thing and that's okay.
Yeah, it makes me think of Aldi. That's one of the reasons we love Aldi. I mean, they're crazy inexpensive. I'm going to try not to use the word cheap since we're talking about frugal. Frugal is cheap. But they are, yeah, crazy inexpensive. And they've got an awesome warranty. And we've definitely used it before. It's a double back warranty. So basically, if something goes bad, specifically like with food, you can take it back. And they will give you your money back. And they'll give you a new one of what you just returned, which is awesome.
Money back and a replacement item.
Yeah, I can't beat it.
Gotta love that about Aldi. One other thing I feel like that fits into this category is a car purchase. Like you could get the cheapest car. You could buy a Daewoo, right? And that's a cheap set of wheels. But ultimately, that car might wear thin on you really quick or just break down completely, right?
Yeah.
So buying something like a Toyota Corolla or a Honda Accord, something like that, where consistently, when you look at the Consumer Reports rankings, the J.D. Power ratings, those cars do so well over time. And maybe you spent a couple grand more to get into a used Corolla or Accord, but ultimately you'll be in that car longer with fewer things to go wrong. I mean, that's a frugal purchase as opposed to just making the quick, cheap decision.
Yeah, man. And adding on to that, too, you want to make sure you get whatever car you're going to get it inspected. And that's a sort of extra expense that you may not want to pay up front because you're tempted to be cheap. You don't want to spend any more money than you have to. But that's a corner that you don't want to cut. You do not want to skip a car inspection. And that could save you thousands and thousands of dollars down the road.
Yeah, Matt. And speaking of inspections, I was really short-sighted one time when buying a new home. Instead of getting an actual home inspection, I had a contractor friend come and look at the house and kind of write down some things that he thought needed repaired. And when it came to the negotiating table, because I didn't have an actual inspection report completely made out, the things that I asked for were shut down. Inspections are really expensive when it comes to a house. And I felt like at that point, I'd bought a few houses. I knew what I was doing. And I didn't actually need a full-fledged inspection if I had a contractor going through the house. But when it came down to it, that $400 would have probably saved me $5,000 more off the price of the house.
On the negotiating table.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and so on this last house that I purchased, a $400 inspection got me $10,000 negotiated off the price.
Nice.
And so it's not necessarily just about finding the flaws in the house, but it's having something to go back to the negotiation table with. And if I was cheap, right? Like I was that first time, yeah. Save that $400, but it cost me in the long run. And so I would recommend just like getting your car inspected. It's worth it because it can prevent you from buying a lemon. And in the same way, you know, getting a home inspection can prevent you from buying a lemon of a house, but it can also, you know, help you save more money in the long run on the purchase price because you have something to go back to the seller with. And you can negotiate with it to save yourself even more money.
Nice, man. After the break, we're going to talk about being frugal and cheap. And relationships. And this can mean the difference between your friends calling you cheap or calling you frugal.
All right, Matt, we're back from the break covering the topic, are you frugal or are you cheap? And we've already kind of covered a few important principles that are great for kind of running through as you're thinking through a specific purchase, as you're thinking through kind of the trajectory of how you live, whether you are frugal or whether you're being cheap. And here's a fifth principle for you. Frugal folks balance saving a buck with all aspects of life, especially when it comes to relationships. Frugal people are considerate of the people around them, and cheap people, well, they can often hurt and damage relationships by imposing their cheapness on other people. So a good rule of thumb to denote whether you're being frugal or cheap is if your decision is having negative consequences on the people around you.
Yeah, man. The most sort of a blatant example of that is not tipping somebody. Servers, like a big portion of their income is from tips. And if you were to not do that by taking advantage of this unspoken thing that you know you should be doing, well, you're being cheap, right?
Yeah, so a frugal person's response is if you can't afford going out to dinner and leaving a good tip for your server is to just go out to eat less, right? And a cheap person still wants to take advantage. They want to use the coupon and not tip their server well. That's being cheap, right? That's negatively impacting, you know, someone else.
That's
and
right.
So the frugal person just says, you know what? I can't afford it. I'm going out to eat less.
Yeah, man, it's not even necessary, right, to go out to have fun with friends, to develop relationships. It's not required that you go out. I wish I could remember where I heard this, but it was about a group of friends that would get together and they would all bring ingredients and they would have a potato like party. Like somebody would bring potatoes. Someone would bring...
That sounds festive.
Dude, doesn't it sound fun? someone else would bring like the bacon and some cheese and they would all kind of pitch in. It was just a way for folks to save a lot of money, but still have that social interaction.
Yeah, I think there's tons of ways to do that, right? And then there's also ways to go out with your friends and not spend as much as everyone else, right? And you don't have to go out all the time. There's awesome ways to stay in and have a potato party, right? Like Matt just mentioned. But also maybe just have one beer instead of three. Let's say you're dating right now, right? There's ways to go out and take someone else out without being cheap. Because it's not about the money that you spend. It's about building that relationship. And your significant other doesn't care how much you spent on dinner. They care about the thought and the intentionality that you put into it and the time that you're spending together.
Dude, I love that. Quality time together is so important. And so if you're frugal and you're worried about being perceived as cheap, what you want to do is make sure that you communicate with your friends, with whoever it is that you are in relationship with. Talk about money. Talk about why you're not going to be spending money in a given social situation, or maybe why you may not even be attending. And in those cases, even if you have friends that disagree and have different values, hopefully they have a renewed respect for what it is that you're doing because you've been thoughtful about what you're doing and even more importantly, you're communicating that with them. You're sharing with them, and that's something that you're able to then talk about together. Dude, and that's so much of what we like to do here on the podcast, right? Like, we talk about money. We talk about the things that oftentimes don't get talked about, and it needs to be normalized and part of our sort of daily discussion.
Yeah, and I know that for Emily and I, like at home, open lines of communication have made a big change in me being just kind of a cheapskate and making a lot of headway towards being a frugal person instead.
Right.
And that sort of, those open lines of communication have made it easier for us to get on the same page. And we don't always agree, but then we come to terms on, you know, a reasonable decision for us to make. So just like kind of, for instance, maybe an example of how many date nights we would have and what kind of places we would be going on our date nights. And cheat me was like, let's go every week, but go get like the cheapest Mexican food we possibly can. And sometimes, you know, Emily wanted to go nicer places. And so we've kind of made this decision, right, where we go on fewer date nights. And, you know, sometimes we'll go to a really cheap place that's really tasty. And then sometimes we'll go someplace a little bit nicer, because like a long, slow dinner at a beautiful restaurant is meaningful to her, and it is quality over quantity, right? And you can go out to eat five nights a week at a fast food place, right, and spend the same amount of money as you can on that one date night at that like nice restaurant in town, but it doesn't have nearly the same effect and the same meaning, right? So for our relationship, communicating about why and how we're going to spend the money and has led to open eyes and coming into it on the same page, so that we can choose to be frugal together as opposed to me cheaping out. And so that's made a really big difference for us.
Yeah, man, in your example, there might be some folks who might want that cheap Mexican every week, because for them, that is what they value and that is what they've communicated with people in their lives, and that's what they've figured out is most important to them. That's why it's so hard to say that, oh, this is a frugal purchase, or oh, this is a cheap purchase, because again, with every person, with each individual, it's different. And as long as you've given it the thought and you know why it is that you're spending the money that you're spending and that you're doing that with intentionality, then you are moving in the right direction.
All right, Matt, back to the beer we stole from your mother-in-law.
We have some bigger beers, and this is like the opposite of a big beer. First of all, it comes in a tiny bottle. It feels like a mini bottle of champagne.
It's like, kind of adorable.
It's kind of cute. Dude, I will say it's got an awesome label. I love the label on it.
It really does. So let's tell people what we're drinking. We're drinking Stiegl Radler, and it's a grapefruit beer / juice, right? A Radler is, interestingly enough, essentially half beer and half juice. It's a German concoction.
Yeah.
It's
from Europe. It's fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Brits call it a shandy, while the Germans call it a Radler. And this is my favorite. I got to be honest. The Stiegl Grapefruit Radler is
so good, dude.
By far my favorite version of a Radler. I'm not really into these beers for the most part, but this one in particular, if you can get your hands on some Stiegl. And the great thing is, too, we're drinking something that probably everybody can find at their local package store.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can find this beer, and it either comes in these cute little green bottles or a four-pack of cans. But, man, it's got this really nice, juicy, grapefruity. It feels like you're drinking straight grapefruit juice that's just got this little bit of beer in it, and it's really, really nice.
Well, it's halfway. I mean, like you said, it's like halfway between juice and beer. And so the history of this beer, or juice beer, whatever you want to call it, is it originated in Europe, and it was made for cyclists. And so you've got these groups of folks, I envision, riding their, you know, fancy road bikes through the Alps, and they are thirsty, and they come upon a pub, but they know they got to keep riding. And so they were watering down their beer with lemonade and creating Radlers. And so it was a way for them to, you know, get refreshed, get rehydrated, but at the same time not get wasted, so that they couldn't keep riding their bikes.
Yeah, and so this beer in particular is like 3.2% alcohol. So Matt and I feel nothing at all right now, but a fantastic beer, really. And I love that history behind it. I love that, you know, you and I love bikes, and we're drinking.
We love biking and we love beer, man. So Radler should be our patron saint beer, right?
They totally should be. They totally should be. So we will let Stiegl Radler be our patron saint beer.
Yeah, I love it.
Because of that. And seriously, it's the best Radler I've ever had. I love every time I get to have one of these beers. Super low ABV, so full of flavor, and just kind of something different off the beaten path from the normal kind of beers we drink.
Not our typical IPA, that's for sure.
So thanks to Kath, Matt's mother-in-law, for donating this beer to the show.
Or as our girls call her, Mono. All right, Joel. Final thoughts. And this is how you can tell if you are being cheap or if you're being frugal. And the first way is that cheap people are always thinking about the short-term benefits, the short-term cost and expense, while frugal folks are playing the long game. A lot of times, if you're too cheap, that can actually cost you more in the long run because you're going to have to buy more often.
Also, cheap people are often trying to avoid spending money altogether, or they're loading up and buying way too much crap with that Black Friday mindset. Frugal folks are willing to spend money only on the things that they care about.
Cheap people don't take their own time and energy into account when they see a deal or if they know that they can DIY the project, right? And so they devalue their time, whereas frugal folks have a better understanding of what their time is worth and can decide whether or not they want to, you know, fix that broken appliance like I oftentimes get sucked into doing.
Another sign that you might be frugal as opposed to cheap is that you research your purchases well. You might pay more for a particular product because of the track record and the fact that you're buying from a reputable merchant with a great return policy. Cheap people, they aren't even thinking about that stuff.
That's right. And finally, frugal folks balance saving money with all aspects of life, especially when it comes to relationships. While frugal people are considerate of those around them, cheap people can hurt people and damage relationships by imposing their cheapness on those around them.
So Matt, ultimately, let's strive to be frugal and not cheap. And I think it's really helpful to have these kind of five principles as a mirror as you're thinking about purchases, as you're thinking about how you live life. And I know for me, it's been a great transformation to go from being cheap to being someone who I think has become decently frugal.
Yeah, man, that's right. It takes time. It's a process. It's not easy to be frugal. Being cheap is easy. All you do is you look for the cheapest price and you go with that. Being frugal takes thought, intentionality, and it takes a little more work.
Yeah, it's better for, I think, your heart. It's better for your relationships. It's better for the stuff in your closet, right? Yeah. So all those reasons, it's better to be frugal than cheap. Thanks for listening. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com, and we will have show notes up for this episode.
Yeah, and hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you found it randomly, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe and you can get all the new episodes as they are released.
Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out. You're such a beautiful butterfly now. You used to be this ugly caterpillar, this ugly cheap caterpillar. Now you're this beautiful butterfly.